McCarthy Insurance Group, serving the community for over 70 years. For home, farm, motor, life, health and business insurance, log on to mig.ie or free phone 1800 50 11 11. Probably your best call in 2024. Charles McCarthy Insurance is trading as McCarthy Insurance Group is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Can I say something about the weather? And I don't mean to piss everybody off, right? Because I know you're sick hearing about the weather, right? But, and please, I say to everybody, please stay safe. Use your head. We're all grown-ups. We're all adults. I heard on the news the other day, don't cycle in the snow. And I'm going, unless you're stupid, you won't cycle. Who cycles in the snow? I mean, and if you do cycle in the snow and you fall off your bike, you probably deserve it, to be honest with you, because you're stupid, right? Be careful when you're walking on the streets in case you slip. You know, I mean, we're grown adults. We know this. Micheál Martin says, please don't get weather fatigue, right? Who's given us the weather fatigue? The government, the media, Met Aaron. We know it's cold. We're well aware of it. I'm freezing when I go outside. It's winter. You know what I mean? This happens regularly. Every single year, there's a week or two that, you know, we drop below zero. It gets really cold. It's particularly cold at the moment. I get that. There are some people snowed in their houses around the country, and I get that too. That happens. That's part of life. It's part of, that's the climate that we live in. We know where we live. We live in Ireland. You know, it's never really that warm anyway. Even in the summer, it doesn't get that warm. I get it. And I get the warnings and all of that. But don't be telling us not to get weather fatigue when yous are the ones going on about it all the time. You know, people are grown adults. We're intelligent. Most of us know, you know, to be careful when we're driving in the snow. And I always say to people myself as well, if you're living in a county at the moment where there is snow, don't make unnecessary journeys. So what's the point? You know, you can get the bread tomorrow or the next day. This will be all over in about 2 days, probably. The weather, I was looking at the temperatures there over the next 3 or 4 days. By Wednesday, Thursday, temperatures gone back up to 3 or 4 degrees. By Saturday, Sunday, it'll be back up to 9 degrees, which is very mild, by the way, for January, 9 or 10 degrees. I mean, it's a cold snap. We get cold snaps regularly. You know, when I look back at 1982, for example, or 2011, was it? You know, the snow we got in 1982. I couldn't imagine that happening now. We would go into meltdown. It'd be like Armageddon. We would be predicting the end of the world. We just got on with it. Yeah, the country closed down for a week back in 1982 because we couldn't do anything because it was like 4 or 5 foot of snow everywhere. It was a disaster. For the economy, apart from anything else, because everywhere closed. Shops couldn't even open. It was terrible. But look, we got through it. We got on with it. And we didn't have those warnings. And a multi-weather event, it's called now. That's where you have a couple of things at the same time, like rain, cold and snow. But that's quite normal to have, you know, different seasons throughout the day in Ireland. We've been dealing with that all our lives. I just think that it's overkill. I want everybody to be safe. I don't want anyone to be injured. I don't want anyone to crash their car. Please be safe. Please do all the things you're supposed to do. But I don't think we need it drilled into us constantly, all day, every single day. And for the Taoiseach, on Friday, the Taoiseach has been briefed. What has he been briefed on? Hey, yeah, Simon. Yeah, it's going to be the snow today. Okay, thanks for briefing me. I mean, what is going on? Surely Taoiseach should be briefed about other things that are important in the country. I mean, I'll say this is not important, but other things. You know what I mean? I don't get it. I just... For all those people around the country, by the way, who are snowed in or have lost their power, ESB hope to have the power back within the next 2 days everywhere. Most of you should have your power back by now. I think up to 60,000 to 80,000 homes lost their power over the weekend. Most counties are not snowed in. It is the minority of counties that have had it. Kerry was hit pretty bad. Cork, Kerry, down around that part of the country was hit pretty bad. The normal places actually didn't get it. Like Galway are normally the first to get these kind of things, and it didn't happen in Galway. Dublin, Wexford, Waterford, all around there is fine. Everything seems to be fine. All up north, Dundalk, Drogheda, all up there is all fine. So what I'm saying to you is just be careful. If you're driving and you think it looks okay, be extra cautious. Bit of black ice on the road, you know, you're gone. So please drive carefully. But we don't need the warnings constantly. Micheál Martin, the reason people have fatigue is because of you and your government talking about it all the time, like we're children. That's just my thoughts on it, my view on it. You might have a different view and I'm welcome to, I'm happy to hear it. Now, where is it going? Let's lighten the mood. We're talking about arguments. So what is it you and your other half, or if you don't have another half, I'm sure you have a mother or a father or a brother or sister, what do you argue about? Best friends, what do you argue about? What are the main reasons that people argue? Maybe you've had mad arguments about something stupid. People do usually. Arguments are usually over something silly. You know, and you end up talking, not talking to somebody for 2 days over something stupid. Let me know what it is you argue over. The number is 087-188-0008. And if you're telling me you don't argue with your other half, you're a liar. David, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How the devil are you? Yeah, no, it is annoying when the everyone goes on about the weather and this, that, and the other. And it is. They are denying us the ability to act like adults.
Mm. I think most people are clever enough to understand what you should and shouldn't do. You know, I mean, okay, the odd, you know, throwing out a bit of a warning at the start of is no harm, you know, to tell people just to be careful. That's fine, but don't keep going on about it.
Yeah, I don't even think they need that, you know, sort of.
Okay, back to the arguments. Well, David, what do you think the main things people argue about are?
Oh, one of the things we used to argue about was very definitely honesty.
Okay.
That was one of the.
But that's everything, and that's everything really in a nutshell, isn't it? Honesty. If you can't be honest with your partner and you're lying to them, well, then you're in big trouble, aren't you?
Well, it's the things I used to get really shirty about was the fact that she was a teacher and she used to book up grinds, and then she'd get an offer from some of her girlfriends to go out drinking. And she'd want me to ring up the kid to say she couldn't do the grind because she was sick.
Right. Okay.
And I just wouldn't have that, you know. But that was very typical of her. She used to do that all the time.
There's nothing worse than somebody getting you to lie on their behalf. Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
She would accept wedding invitations and have absolutely no intention of going.
Yeah.
And only sort of basically get a last minute. Give a better offer and go off and do something else.
Mm.
So yes.
And I know you're not with her anymore, but you're dishonest to each other.
No, certainly I wasn't. But she was, as far as I know, she wasn't dishonest to me. But you got to the point where I couldn't trust her on anything.
That's how it all went. That's why you are where you are today. So the other thing you believe people argue about is money.
And obviously the other thing was, money. That's always the...
And what was the argument about money? Spending too much, spending too little? What was the main argument in relation to money?
Certainly there was that. There was, I had my assets over in the UK. And she'd got caught for some... When the downturn happened with the housing here... In 2008, she got rather badly caught with that, and had, it was $100,000 out on the house.
Oh, negative equity. Wanted, yeah.
Yeah, she wanted me to sort of make her problem good.
Make it all go away. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think overspending is a huge problem in relationships as well. Probably, you know, people living beyond their means. You know, well, usually one person in the relationship living beyond their means, that can be a huge problem.
I turned up over here. I had my when I left work after the heart attack over in the UK. I left the work I was doing, and the company gave me the company car as part of my severance package. It was a Golf GTI, a few years old, and so I turned up over here with a Golf GTI. She would take that and leave me with her 11-year-old Fiesta.
It's hardly the biggest problem in the world, David, in fairness.
Sorry?
You just got to put your foot down in situations like that, really, couldn't you?
And whenever The only time I got to use my car was when the petrol tank was empty and it needed filling up.
So, do you think honesty and money are the biggest problems generally, or the biggest things that people argue about? Well, certainly in your situation.
I suppose that probably is.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can have culture, because obviously my culture would be pretty different to hers in certain aspects.
What do you mean your culture is different? You're English, Davis. English people don't have a different culture.
Oh, we do.
How is your culture different to mine?
Okay, there's a... Darrow Brien summed it up in a 2006 gig in London. In England, things are either permitted or they're not. And the English are very happy with the idea of things being permitted or they're not. We don't have several stages of legality. The Irish do.
Yeah, the whole Irish, I should be grand. It'll be grand.
You immediately started laughing.
Yeah.
That is a different... That is a very different...
Okay, so what you're saying with English people, it's black and white. Yeah, it's just black or white. That's it. Whereas we have a few stages of grey in the middle. Yeah.
And you've got you're grand. Now you're pushing it, and now you're taking the piss.
Yeah. No, I get that, but that's not necessarily different culture. That's just being Irish.
That is honesty and integrity. That is culture.
Okay. I'll accept that as an answer. Stay there for a second. Let me go to Des. Des, hi, how are you?
Smile, good evening. Very happy new year to you.
Happy new year to you too, Des. What do yous argue about, or what the stupid things people argue about usually?
We argued about everything over the years. Now I just have sat back and kind of, to be honest with you, it's like going back, you know, we'd be saying, well, where, you know, if you're going out somewhere or you didn't want to do something, and then I realised after time, and it took a long time actually, but you're better off just saying, you know what, yeah, Grammy, we'll do that or whatever, because it just saves all the hassle of moaning and...
Yeah, and what do they say? A happy wife is a happy life.
Yeah, one thing that would really wind me wife up, that would be over the years with my two girls growing up, she would always say that I always have to deal with the problems, and if she asks me to say something to the girls, I'd kind of, I'll say something to them later, and then if I see one of them, how's it going? Everything all right and all? She used to go mad, you know, because I wouldn't have any confrontation with the two girls. You know?
Right, okay, so you wouldn't give out to them. So you weren't sticking with her on it. Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, you know, that's a problem, isn't it?
And it is, yeah. And then now they're grown up now, and she says, you have them the way they are, you know?
Yeah. But it is a team effort, you know, when you're raising children. Yeah, it's a team effort.
It is. But when they start getting old, they say, oh, look at... You know, she'd say, do you know what, I asked her to wash them dishes, I'd buy them dishes, and I wouldn't do them, you know?
Yeah, so there was a kind of good cop, bad cop situation going on in that house, no, yeah.
It was never a purpose, it was just, I just didn't like confrontation with the girls, you know, it was, I think a lot of it was because if you come from a small family and someone comes from a bigger family, and it was more done, say, in the bigger family where my mother and father would have said, leave it, I'll do them, let you go on and do your homework. I kind of grew up that way, and I brought that with me then into the way I would look after the way when I was growing up or my girls were growing up. I would kind of...
So your wife was kind of more the one that it brought the discipline into the home. You didn't.
Yeah, and I'd be afraid then to, if the girls, if I had, but like if I said boo to me girls now, they'd be taught to be something wrong with me, you know, because...
Daddy never gives out to us. Yeah, Dad never gives out to us. Yeah,
yeah, and you know, it's, and to be honest with you, look, it works for me.
Are you still married, by the way?
Yeah, I've married 30 years.
Yeah. Well, see, at least the girls are gone now. You know, they're not. Yeah, I'm assuming
one of the girls are home, and the youngest girl has bought a new house, and she's gone now this year. Last year, sorry.
Ah, yeah. Once they're both gone, you can enjoy your lives better.
That's another thing that my wife would be at me for. I have always wanted the girls to stay as long as they wanted, you know.
Yeah.
And always, my younger girl now, she's nearly over college now, and she's nearly fully qualified. And And I said, oh, you can stay as long as you like, you know, there's no hurry leaving the house and all.
Yeah, you're not, see, now, Des, here's the problem. I'm going to agree with your wife here, okay? You're not doing her any favours by saying that to her.
I know.
Yeah, I know. If I was your wife, I'd be arguing with you too.
Yeah, because then you'd be saying, well, you know, if there's no one there, then it's the two of us and all, and, you know.
Just the two of us.
You know, things are so different now, and, you know, if you don't be worrying about having to try and save and move out. My youngest daughter, she's single, and she's all career mad, and there's no hurry on her, and she loves the company of us and all, so. And we go on holidays, we bring her with us and things like that, you know. So
Yeah, you have her spoiled. You have her spoiled.
Yeah, well, it's hard to kind of, you know, it wouldn't be this type now. Oh, yeah, when they reach 18, they have to go, they have to find a house, or they have to find somewhere.
Jesus, Des, your wife is a saint for putting up with you. She really is.
No, she is. Look, she is, absolutely. But that's the thing. But now I don't.
But here's the thing. You actually know she's right. There's the thing.
And I haven't got the energy anymore to be giving out about Anne. Like, if she says, oh, you're coming shopping, and I say, oh, then I say, you know what, just go shopping, because if I ask her to do something, she'd do it. You know, that sort of
way.
And it stops. She comes home then with all the shopping, I'm sitting watching the telly. She'd say one thing, and I'd know, then I better go up and help her, and I'd feel bad, you know, so I don't want it anymore.
You better get up and help her.
Yeah. Because, you know, if you're sitting and you're watching the telly, and your wife is going, boy, and she's doing something, and you know she wants you to help. You can feel that. You can't enjoy the program the same. No. You've helped her and
you're on edge. You get it. You're on edge.
Yeah. And I'm right, Niall. I'm telling you now, I'm right. And then you can go back in.
Does she give you the dirty look now as she's passing by with the shopping?
Or even afterwards, then she'd say, oh, yeah, could you not help? You know, just that one little word.
She'll pop her head in the door and go, I put all that chopping away. Is that okay? Yeah. Yeah.
And now, will I make your dinner now? Like, you know, if you help her, you kind of say, well, that was grand.
Yeah, Des, I'm on your wife's side. You should have got up and helped her with the chopping anyway. I'm on her.
Well, I would, Niall. I'd pause what I'd be watching because it wouldn't be worth it then. Do you know that's
hard to end? It wouldn't be worth it.
You know what I mean? I mean, I know we're too long, like, and you're better off. I agree now. The more you can do now for a peaceful life, the better, rather than saying, oh, well, it's not all about me sitting down watching the telly or whatever it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it has to, like, I'm 53 now, so at my age now, I'd be saying, well, do you know what? We're in it together. We're married a long time, and there's no point in being, you know, saying, if I don't want to do something, there's no point in saying, well, I'm not doing it just for it to be stubborn or I don't want to do it. Just, you get to a stage where you say, do you know what? I'll do that. And then start looking, you know, it's not the end of the world, you know? That's the way I feel now. And then that stops a lot of.
Well, Des, I have to go into the break, but here's the thing. I'm still going to say it again. Your wife is right. You're wrong.
Oh, sorry.
And I'm sure you've been told that a million times by her. So.
Yeah, but when I know that if the daughters ring you or I'm talking to the daughters and everything's kosher, that's grand for me, you know?
Absolutely. Listen, Des, David, thank you. Joe, I'll be with you after the break. Got to take a quick break. What do people argue about? Let me go to Joe. Joe, you've been listening to Des there before the break, whose wife is telling him what he should and shouldn't be doing, and he knows she's right, but he just doesn't do it sometimes. There you go. So what is it? Go on, Joe.
I would agree with that, because I was actually talking to a woman the other day, you know, her husband, he has an awful obsession with staying in the betting office 8 or 9 hours a day, you know.
Who does the woman or the man?
No, the man has a problem with gambling. He's just an obsessed gambler, you know.
Yeah.
And one day she actually went into the betting office, and she actually went up, and there was your man on one of the machines. He was gambling nearly €9,000 on three race horses at Kempton, you know. Two of the horses actually fell, and the other horse pulled up, and your man lost all the freaking money. The money that he actually lost was actually for a holiday that they were going to go on next year to Spain.
Oh, God.
Would you believe it? So do you know what she done? She actually said to him, if that's the case, so you won't be getting any freaking dinner for the next couple of days until you pay back your debts.
Jeez, that's a lot of dinner, by the way.
And your man was just a complete headbanger.
Well, now, like, I can tell you now, if any woman out there is with a man who's spending 8 days in a bookie, she shouldn't be with him. She should just dump him.
No.
Yeah, he's it.
And you know what I blame, and what I blame really for the whole thing is, I blame the way the betting offices have become now. They're like hotels. They have armchairs inside now where you can sit down and watch television all day in there.
Right.
It's like a massage parlor. It's actually ridiculous.
It's like a massage parlor.
Yeah. The only thing they're short now is making is bringing the tea boy.
Or a few lap dancers.
Yeah, it's like Simon Harris there now. We can give him a job as a... you could get him to make the tea in there, because that's all he's only fit for doing anyway, you know?
So, Joe, what do you think people argue about the most, apart from bookies? What do they argue about?
I think a lot of people... I think money would be the main argument nowadays, because given the fact that people are on tight budgets now, and given the fact that we're in a time of the year now where bills are coming through the door and everything like that, I think money would be the main issue now of a lot of arguments, you know?
Yeah, I would agree.
Because the problem is, you saw it there over Christmas, there was an awful lot of huge spending going on over the last 3 or 4 weeks, like, you know, leading up to Christmas. And the problem is now that a lot of the money is gone, and they're trying to save up for this thing and that thing. And the thing about it is, and what amazes me in this country is that people will always buy the most stupidest things going. They'll buy, you know, you'll have people buying clothes there for such a person. They might even wear the clothes only once or twice in the year, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is, they get other things done. They get the house done up and everything like that. Now, that's grand. That has to be done too as well. But you would get some people there would do the most stupidest things, like doing up the, like putting a patio and all this stuff in the front garden. And the cost of that, like, they don't realise that the cost of these things
is mental.
Do go up very much, like, you know?
Yeah, Des, by the way, are you still there, Des?
Yeah, I'm Niall.
Yeah, what did you buy your wife for Christmas?
What did I buy?
What did you buy her for Christmas?
I bought her a pearl necklace and some makeup.
Oh, that's okay. That was good. You're in a winner. Hey, Joe, what did you buy your lady friend? Are you still with your lady friend?
Oh, yeah. I was actually with her today. I was actually down with her today.
Did you buy her something nice for Christmas?
I did. I took her out for a lovely meal I did to a restaurant there before Christmas.
Very nice.
And I also bought her a watch.
Very nice.
And I gave her money as well.
Yeah,
you
two are flavour of the month. There you go. A happy wife is a good wife.
Yeah, that's the way I look at it, like, you know, because she's been good to me over the years. Mm. And she's also looked after me there when I was when I had a lot of problems over my time, you know. A lot of issues over the last couple of years, as you know yourself.
Yeah.
She was very good to me there, you know. I was in a situation there a number of years ago there where I could have been, as I said, I mightn't be talking to you now.
Yeah, and she was good to you. She supported you through that. Yeah, very good.
And you and yourself as well, Noel. You were very good to me as well.
Thank you,
Joe. During the lockdown years, because, you know, you've done a lot for a lot of people in this country, and you gave us a voice, and I always appreciate that, because, as I always say, without you, Noel, and our country would not be surviving today, I can tell you.
Ah, thank you. I think you're giving me a big head there. Too much credit.
No. Very true.
So, Des, at least you were good to her over the Christmas. That was something. She must have been happy then, was she?
Yeah.
Yeah, for the day. Yeah.
Still bold presence over the years now, and you kind of look back and you have to kind of tread a bit more carefully than as years go on in Christmases, you know?
Yeah, you got a few bogey presents, did you?
I slipped up this week because I think it was yesterday was not a little Christmas. Women's Christmas. But I think I'll bring her out for a bit of grub on Friday to make up for that, because she said, Miss Hot, I was getting me dinner yesterday, and I said, because I didn't realise what day it was, you know.
Why, is that a thing? Is that what you're supposed to do? I didn't even know that.
Well, apparently, that's the day where I think the decorations come down and...
Oh, well, I did that yesterday. Yeah, I did that yesterday.
Put their feet up, and the men are meant to take care of everything, but I don't think that happens, you know. She reminded me of the day that was in it, you know, so I kind of said, well, I better do something just to remember that.
Yeah, the problem is people overspend at Christmas. And the problem for a lot of people too is they get paid, if you're paid monthly, some people get paid before Christmas Day for January. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so you've really 6 weeks to look for that money to last. And by the time they get to the middle of January, they're skint.
Yeah, that's very true.
Mm. It's a big problem. Stay there for a second, both of you. Let me go to Martin. Martin, hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing well now. Good evening. Thank you.
Good evening, Martin. What do people argue about the most? When you remember, think back to your marriage days, what did you argue about most? What were the main things people, you reckon, argue about?
Well, I can quite honestly say that I think we must have been 10 years married, and I honestly don't think we ever have we had an argument in the first 10 years. Literally. Okay. I mean, we might have had minor, you know, oh, I don't like this or them. But yeah. No arguments as such.
Yeah.
Pardon me. Hmm. But I think later on, we just seemed that parallel track we were on seemed to diverge. I was always fairly easy. I mean, even before we got married, when we were about to be married, saving up, she decided she wanted one last holiday with our friends. She was only an apprentice hairdresser. I was earning reasonable money, and I said, "Okay, take the money out of our fund to get married. You know, don't have a holiday with your friends." It was never about money. I was always very kind of, you know, whatever it takes. Money is there to be spent, so long as it's not completely frivolous. But I think in later years, what happened was we seemed to just diverge in certain ways, especially when my wife, and I'm not having a pop at her here, honestly, for anyone that's listening, I'm not having a pop at her. She was a wonderful wife, wonderful mother. I loved her. You know, I owe her so much. She gave me my two daughters, and they in turn gave me my grandchildren, so... Yeah. She's with another man. Good luck to her. I really do genuinely hope she's going to be happy for the rest of her life. But there is a cautionary tale.
Yeah.
We had, I'll just say there were a couple who were related to us, okay?
Yeah.
And she was very, very close with wife in this couple. This couple were having problems. They are now divorced. And this was well into our marriage. We didn't separate until we were nearly 30 years together. This was well into our marriage. Got to the stage where I was coming home at night from a day's walk, and I'd sit down at the dinner table. My own daughters would be there, and I'd be getting told, "Oh, I was talking to so-and-so, who was
the woman in this other relationship, in this other marriage.
And she was saying X, Y, and Z, and he won't listen to her on this. Will you talk to him?" And I'm saying, "No, I won't. No, it's none of my business."
You don't get involved in other people's relationships. No, you just don't. No,
but that's the whole issue. Yeah. They had each other convinced that myself and this other man were talking to each other during the day, you know, kind of conspiring and saying, "Do you know they're saying this?" And nothing could be further from the truth. And I kept saying to her, "Jillian, you realise you keep down this road, it's going to cause a division between you and I." Now, it wasn't the only thing in the long run, but it certainly didn't help, because for a couple of years, I was coming home and there was a row almost every night over it. Sitting at the dinner table, and I'd be saying, "Why are you bringing this up again? How many times do I have to tell you?" Yeah, same thing, you know.
It's like this thing years ago that started off these book clubs, but they're not actually book clubs at all, right? No, there's no book, right? They're just women meeting together to drink wine. And the problem with these book clubs is that women put ideas into each other's heads about their own husbands. And they might be in a perfectly fine marriage, but they're convinced by others who are miserably unhappy in their marriage that their marriage is unhappy too. So that these book clubs are hugely problematic. And the same thing can happen, I'm assuming, in men's heads too. So what I'm saying is other people involving themselves in your relationship or you involving yourself in somebody else's relationship is the worst thing you can do in a marriage.
Absolutely, to allow anyone cross that line into your marriage. And to a degree, it also happened, I have to say, I mean, she went back for third level education. And I had no problem. She got a new car about every 3 years. Everything was paid for. You know, she went back, she was in education, she got a couple of degrees. I was really happy for her. But there was a row, because on one occasion, when she was being presented with her degree, her scroll, whatever it's called, you know, they get all that. I simply couldn't get the time off work to be there. I couldn't get it. It wasn't possible. My employer simply couldn't give it to me. And there was a huge row over it. "Oh, if you loved me, you'd be there." I can't. I'll be there for anything else. But on this occasion, I just can't do that.
That can happen, unfortunately, sometimes. No, I get that. That can happen. And, you know, and the same, because I work in radio. And, you know, it's not like any other job. You can't just know, you can't just regularly take nights off or whatever it is, or days off when I used to be on the daytime radio show. It's not that easy. You know, you can't just not turn up. And, you know, you just always, you can't be at everything or be for whatever. You have to try and fit your job in. It's not that your job is more important, because there's nothing more important than your family. But it's
but
your job is equally important in the sense that you need to keep your job. And I understand.
The fact,
yeah.
It's also the fact, I will say, and as I said, I'm not taking a pop at my wife here. She was a wonderful wife, a wonderful mother. We just happened to diverge. But I do think, pardon me, in going back to be for third level education, I'm not saying it was a bad thing, but I did. There was a change, and the people around her changed. I was seeing.
Well, people. See, here's the thing. But here's the thing, Martin. I don't want to go too deeply into that because there's no time. But people do change, and if you don't change together as a couple, well, then there's a problem.
Yep.
And sometimes people change and change in the opposite direction, and that's just life. It's just anyway. Getting back to other things people argue about, I suppose the other things, simple things like silly things like what we're going to watch on television, those things.
Yeah, never really bothered me, Niall, as I told you before. I'm not much into it. I'm not hugely into television. I'd much rather sit down with a book.
Yeah.
I mean, what I would take away from what happened to me, the whole thing, would be, one, don't let other people intrude
in your relationship.
And two, if you're in a relationship, never go to bed on an argument. You know, settle it before you go to bed, because it just festers and builds for the next day. Honestly, that's...
I couldn't agree with you more. That is a good lesson to learn for most people. Joe, Tez, Martin, thank you very much indeed. I have to go into a break.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.